This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Stick on the Jalen thing here, guys. A couple interesting developments from yesterday, one of which we touched on at the very, very end of our show, and then one that developed after our show. So ESPN's got a ranking out yesterday. And, you know, it is the season with training camp about to happen where you get these off-season rankings. Now, this one, I think, is more interesting than most because it's not just like, hey, Frank Smith from Yahoo or Tom Jones from ESPN.com. It's not one person's opinion. It's actually a compilation of what ESPN put together by talking to 70. That's a lot. That's not like a small sample size. 70 league, what they call them, league executives, coaches, and scouts. League executives, coaches, and scouts. And they rank up all these various positions, including quarterback, and they have Jalen number 9. Now, I'm curious everyone's reaction to it at 215-592-9494. Let me just tell you the list. I'm going to turn it over to John. We'll all react together. 215-592-9494. Here's how ESPN ranks it. Excuse me, let me take it back. Here's how the 70 people from the NFL rank it through ESPN's, you know, polling of them. Mahomes 1, Josh Allen 2, Burrow 3, Lamar 4. It is noteworthy in the story, and we'll detail elements of the story as they present it, but they make it very, 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 very clear in the story that those four were like head and shoulders above everyone else. So those four in that order, that's the way many people in America rank them. A lot of people around here don't. So again, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar. All right, 5, 6, 7. Jaden Daniels, Stafford, Herbert. 8, 9, 10, Jared Goff. 9, Jalen Hurts. 10, Baker Mayfield. John Ritchie, floor is yours, sir. Your thoughts?
Asinine. Troublingly asinine. Jalen Hurts is, geez, for my money, he's the best quarterback at leading a balanced offense in this league. He's the second best quarterback by whatever the throw it, you know, 60 times a game standard is. But 60, we don't 60, do that.
60%?
We don't do that. No, I'm just saying, you those said who want to throw it, I get it, Joe.
Oh, no, the I got idea confused. Of throwing I didn't know if the ball 60, an awful you lot. Said 60 times. I didn't know if you meant 60%.
Okay.
No one throws it 60 times. Yeah.
You and those who tend to bag on Jalen say, why don't we throw it the way other teams throw it? Well, because we do offense better than other teams. Like, we have a balanced offense. Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the league at leading a balanced offense. The fact that Howie's done his job better than everyone else and created a juggernaut team, that contributes to this issue as well, because now people can say, well, he's good because of his, you know, surrounding talent. He's good because he's throwing to the best wide receivers and he's got the best offensive line blocking for him. Yes, the supporting cast is great, and it's the greatest in the NFL, and it's a big reason why we won the Super Bowl. It's a big reason why we've been to two of the last three Super Bowls.
Yep.
Howie has dominated. Jalen has dominated. We are not a pass-heavy system offensively any longer, but I hated that with Andy Reid. Andy Reid is still messing up. Against us, he's still not running the ball in the Super Bowl enough for them to have a chance. Like, that drives me insane if I'm a Chiefs fan. As a player, it drove me insane. Me and the rest of the offensive line. Sure. Why aren't we running the ball more?
Drove the fan base insane, too.
And so we knew we could win differently by brutalizing defenses, and now we do that. But now people penalize our quarterback because we don't throw too much, like Andy did and does. Jalen and Nick, and now Kevin Petullo, our new offensive coordinator, who's calling plays for the first time this year, and I'm really excited to see what that relationship looks like in practical application, because they do have a relationship that has been building. He has been here. He just hasn't been calling plays, Kevin Petullo. So now, Jalen, because he's only had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row once.
Right.
And that was when we went to the Super Bowl the first time.
Right.
So I know that if he's in an offense and gets experience in that offense, Jalen is the guy that we want. He's going to continue to work on that passing efficiency in the regular season. We know how hard he puts in the time. He's the ultimate weapon for today's game. And we should be thanking our lucky stars, but instead we're sitting around and saying, why isn't he throwing it more?
So, you know, it's interesting you say we should be thanking our lucky stars. Sirianni is. I mean, Sirianni came out, and I don't know when this quote was from, but it emerged yesterday. My guess is because there was no context given in stories about when this was from. It might have been from a time when local media met with him.
Usually what they do in the OTAs is I think they talk to him and then they hold it off till right before camp. Training camp. Because they all had it out.
They all had it yesterday,
sure.
Right? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, so it probably happened before yesterday, Ray. Is that a fair way to...
Correct.
Yeah. So here, I could read from any number of people's stories, but I'll read from Tim McManus's at ESPN.com. Start of the story, he says, Eagles coach Nick Sirianni offered a pointed response to the notion that quarterback Jalen Hurts was along for the ride during Philadelphia's Super Bowl run last season. Quote, this is from Sirianni, quote, I think that's bull. Let's see, the next letter is S. Then there's an H. We know what word we're talking about here, right?
What letters are we missing?
Yeah. All right, so Sirianni calls it BS. He goes on to say, this is, again, a quote. He goes, I mean, he plays the most important position in all of sports, and it's the ultimate team game there is. And what I admire about him is his selflessness of doing anything we need to do to win. That's Sirianni and his defense of Jalen right there. Look, let me tell you where I'm at on this situation. I'm curious where you're at. Again, camp coming up in a week. And the Hurts thing back in front of us. And fortunately, we'll have a whole new set of data to go off of, coming up in about 2 months and for the next 4 to 5 months, based on how long it lasts after that with a new season, which will be Jalen's fifth full year as a starting quarterback, sixth year in pro football. Your chance to weigh in on, the fact that Hurts is deemed by, again, it's 70 NFL coaches, scouts, and league executives as the ninth best. 215-592-9494. Here is what has really struck me, I think, the most this offseason with this kind of conversation, which we've come back to, every so often. What has struck me the most is how the extremes view it. What I call the extremes. Now, you may not, but what I call the extremes and how I think the extremes are wrong. The extremes are those, again, this is my opinion. You may disagree, but where I'm at is this. The extremes are, Hurts is the top two or three quarterback in pro football. That's where James has been at. I don't think that's accurate. An extreme is this situation right here with these league executives and coaches saying Hurts is number nine. I don't think that's accurate. I felt pretty steady this entire offseason. A lot of people get frustrated with me when I say it, but I'll tell you again where I'm at. You may agree, you may disagree. I've got Hurts in the 5 to 7 range, and I've got him 5. Like, I do have those top four, I think, pretty clearly above Hurts and the others.
You got Lamar Jackson in front of Jalen.
I do.
That's insane.
I do.
That's
crazy. But I think he's in that mix of Stafford, Daniels, and Hurts, of which, primarily because of his excellence on the grandest stage in the Super Bowl twice, I've got Jalen 5. And I'm comfortable with that.
Like, you should count the postseason. You should weigh that more heavily in your evaluation because those are games that matter more.
Well, they do matter more, and that's part of why I have him 5. The Lamar thing, obviously Lamar is one of those guys, and Romo wasn't as good
as
Lamar.
How many Super Bowls has Lamar won? How many Super Bowls has Lamar been to?
Zero.
Zero.
Look, there are guys, and Peyton Manning used to do this. Peyton Manning did this for about the first 10 years where, there'd be excellence in the regular season and then be less so in the playoffs. Greg Maddux was like that. I mean, Barry Bonds was like that. I mean, there are some greats that for whatever reason in the postseason for
Jalen's the opposite.
No, I understand.
Jalen
I get that.
The ultimate postseason weapon.
Well,
Jalen last year.
That's a little strong.
Are you kidding me?
Well, Tom Brady won 7.
Okay,
he's been to
two of the last 3 Super Bowls.
I understand that.
He's redefining what offense is in the NFL.
Well, see,
upon a time, they said you could not do this.
I agree with
Jalen
you, John.
Jalen is doing what they said you could not.
So, John, I agree with you.
And absolute effectiveness.
And that's what I think trips people up that have him 9. So, like, do I think Jalen is more deficient in the passing game than some of these others in the top 10? I do. I absolutely do. But he is so much more exceptional in the running game, and that has an impact on winning.
And last year,
the tush-push is a real thing.
Let's go back to the passing game, the work he needs to do.
Sure.
Remember last year heading into the season, everyone's like, oh no, protections this year,
yeah,
they're going to be problematic. Jason Kelsey's gone. Jalen set those protections last year.
Yeah.
Jalen got this team into the proper play every play. Jalen is his... wheels are turning on the field. He is the coach on the field. He is getting this team into the bang-up play, the proper opportunity every time. That is magnificent.
I agree.
He does that with magnificence.
Sean, it's why I feel comfortable putting him five. But a lot of people say that's disrespectful. These league executives would say that's too high. Look, you tell us where you're at. The thing that has struck me the most in the offseason is I'm just not with either extreme. I'm just not. I'm where I'm at. And to me, that's, I'll define it two ways, 5 through 7. And as I define it, 5. But like, it's to me, it's close. Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, and Stafford, I think, is close. I think it's notable that Stafford came the closest to beating the Eagles in the playoffs with a lot less around him. I thought that was pretty admirable. But, you know, in the end, the Eagles pulled the game out. And then obviously, Jalen played his two best games of the season in the next two games of the season, NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. And I do think it's a crock that these people on a national level, these executives, the coaches, et cetera, put him 9. I mean, to put him below, you know, some of these guys like Jared Goff, who's gotten better. I mean, John and I talked a lot last year about how Jared Goff improved a lot. But to put Goff, after that playoff performance, you know, against Washington, below Jalen Hurts, I mean, come on. I think there's people nationally that get tripped up on the fact that it doesn't look the way it looked 30 years ago.
That's why I'm curious about the ages of the executives and the scouts in particular.
That's an interesting point, Rhea.
Justin Herbert is the quarterback you want to build in a lab, right? What has he ever done that would put him ahead of Jalen Hurts?
And you're right, and I'll say this.
Nothing.
And also that lab is a lab that was created 30 and 50 years
Correct.
Ago. You know,
Correct.
Like, because college football was doing the running quarterback thing 30 and 50 years ago, and it was embraced and cherished. And so you had guys like Jamel Holloway, you had guys like Tommy Frazier, you had guys, and I'm not saying this to disrespect Jalen, that he can't pass better than those guys because he can. You had a guy like Tim Tebow 20 years ago, was one of the great college quarterbacks ever. It's a lot of running.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't throw the ball. Jalen Hurts is obviously a much more evolved passer than guys like that, but utilizing the types of strengths that players like that in college football, 70s, 80s, and 90s, brought to the table running, that was eschewed by the NFL and now embraced by the NFL, but I think there's some old heads that just can't get it through their freaking skull that this is the way the game's played now in pro football, and it can be extremely effective, and it's why he's top 5 quarterback. That's where I'm at. You tell me where you're at. 215-592-9494. To me, the extremes stick out as ridiculous, but maybe you disagree. All right, we'll talk to Elliot coming up shortly. Let me play for you some audio of Ray Dittinger. We had Ray on the program last week. By the way, Nick Sirianni with a big defense. Some quotes that came out yesterday, and Elliot quotes Sirianni. So I'm going to read right from Tim McManus, I mean to say. Tim McManus' story on ESPN.com. It says, Eagles coach Nick Sirianni offered a poignant response to the notion that quarterback Jalen Hurts was along for the ride during Philadelphia's Super Bowl run last season. Here's a quote from Sirianni. I think that's bull. You know what the next four letters are, Ben? I just want to make sure that's bull.
Pucky.
Mm-hmm. That's bullshot.
Yes.
Yeah, Sirianni says that's bullshot. So Sirianni gives you the BS word.
Bad stuff.
And yeah, bad stuff. So strong defense from Sirianni, which is good job by him taking the quarterbacks back. Let's listen to the ditty. Ray Dittinger was on our program last week. I asked him about Jalen. Here's what he said. Where do you come down on what Jalen is, what he'll become, and the conversation that surrounds the entire thing?
Well, I think he's become it. The question you ask about any quarterback in any city, in any situation, is can this guy win you a Super Bowl? That's where you start at that position. That you look at that guy and you say, can this guy win me a Super Bowl? Well, he's answered that question. He got you there twice, and just a few months ago, he won it, and he was the MVP. And so that big question, he's already answered. Now, is he everybody's idea of the ideal quarterback? Does he fit the quote-unquote prototype? Yeah, probably not. But the fact is that he does all the things that you need a quarterback to do to win games. I would certainly put him you know, I would have him closer to 2 than 5 if I were rating.
Closer than 2 to 5. Now, I think that's an extreme, right? Because I got him at 5, and I'm comfortable with that. When I hear someone say 2, I think that's too high. And by the way, to me, it's the, you know, win the Super Bowl thing and even MVP thing. Like, there are Super Bowl MVP winning quarterbacks who are part of 13-3 type teams, whatever, like, that I would not put in the top 5, or 12-4s. I mean, Eli, no, they didn't go 12-4, but for what it's worth, he won 2 MVPs. I would never say he's top 5.
What about Joe Flacco? Where
Flacco was never top 5.
He was great in the playoffs
that
season.
He was never top 5. Yes. Flacco was in the Eli 8-12 range. That's where he lived, 8-12. He got hot that January. He got hot. You know, Rippon was part of a team with the Reds.
I think Flacco was better than that. I think Flacco...
He was never top five.
His arm was in an elite circle while he was playing.
But he couldn't do off script. Couldn't do it.
He could do it better than what people gave him credit, I think. I think Joe Flacco's still playing.
That's
Joe
amazing.
Flacco is competing in Cleveland against Shador Sanders this year.
Pick a year.
He's ben, not top
year.
Five, but he's so much better than what he gets credit for historically.
Let's say 2012. That's the year he won the Super Bowl. Or 11. It was 11 or 12. All right, who would be the top 5 then? Brady, Manning, Rodgers, Breeze, and then either Roethlisberger or Roethlisberger. That's it. 2011, 2012, that's my top 5. Like, there's no way Joe Flacco ever cracked the top 5, but he had a great January.
Well,
look, Nick Foles had a great January.
The point is Joe Flacco is probably 6 there. Like, Joe Flacco could have been 6.
I'd have to think about
it
a little more.
He was good enough to be 6 with that group.
Maybe.
Was Andrew Luck still playing then?
No. Luck came a little after that.
Okay.
You still have Lamar.
Romo would have been in that range. Honestly.
I wasn't a rookie, but
he was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
He's pretty good.
You still have Lamar ahead of Hurts.
I do.
Why?
Because I think he's just better.
What does Jalen have to do?
In what aspect?
Well, a dynamic place.
Lamar, has he won a Super Bowl? No. Has he played well in the postseason? I don't think so.
No, he
has. Lamar has been a liability.
Lamar has pulled a Romo.
For the Baltimore Ravens.
Lamar has pulled
a postseason. So
Lamar's
we have
pulled
the
a couple
opposite.
No, I get
that.
It.
So again, what does Jalen need to do to show you?
I'd like to see him be better in the passing game with
He showed us he was better in the passing game last year.
With greater consistency.
With greater volume? Is that really what you're asking for? You really want us to return to Andy Reid's overthrowing the ball ways?
I do not want that. What I do want to do is
running the football is what wins in the NFL right now. That's part of what made our defense so formidable last season.
It's part of what makes
keeping
him great.
Them off the field.
It's the thing he does
it
the best.
It all fits together.
Yes. It's his greatest
attribute.
So
you're saying what you need to see from our quarterback is him to throw the ball more, which makes our offense less effective.
I didn't say that.
Be more efficient throwing the ball more.
Yeah.
He's amongst the most efficient quarterbacks in the history of football at throwing the football. If we're talking about completion percentage, passing efficiency, those numbers above expected, all that stuff, he takes the cake statistically.
All right, let's get to Elliot. Elliot Shure Parks with us every Tuesday. By the way, we also have the Twitter poll question of the day. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question with the All-Star Game tonight. We ask you, do you care about the baseball All-Star Game as much as you used to? My guess is many people will say no. All right, Elliot Shure Parks is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing this morning?
Quite a bit, awesome. My man. We got a lot happening here. The Hurts thing has come back again.
Yes.
Round and look, this time it is accompanied by a big and strong defense from Nick Sirianni of his quarterback. Give us your understanding of the setting in which Sirianni said this, and Nick doesn't usually go to the curse form of presenting himself with a curse publicly. So he went into that bag of tricks. What do you make of what Sirianni said and how he framed it?
Yeah, he's always, I think, been pretty defensive of Jalen. If you remember last year, I think it was after the win over Baltimore on the road, where Jalen didn't put up a ton of stats, but I thought played very well. Nick said something similar. I think he actually used the same exact word when defending Jalen. So, you know, during my time covering Nick, I think one thing that's very true about him is he very, very, very much values the relationship with his players. And I think he does believe Jalen is a very good quarterback. But I also think he knows that while Jalen might not ever admit it, it does bother Jalen that he gets consistently ranked lower on this list and where his resume might, you know, think that he should be. And I think Nick knows standing up for Jalen is good for their relationship.
No
so
question.
when Nick speaks firmly and strongly about, you know, this criticism, he knows that Jalen's going to hear that. So I do think Nick believes it, but I also think he knows the benefits of sticking up for his quarterback publicly.
So tell me if you agree with this comment, Elliot. This is the way I view sort of this Hurts thing from a national standpoint. Because when I see 70 NFL people, like actual people in the NFL, call him ninth, I think that's ridiculous. I'd put him fifth. I don't go as high as two. I put him five. But here's where I think a lot of it comes from. There are people in the NFL who were brought up to believe it's the traditional pocket quarterback thing. And while a lot of coaches and teams have evolved to run their offenses differently, some people don't think differently. And that leads to Hurts being ranked ninth instead of fifth. Like, the tush push is a factor. Like, he can do it, Herbert can't. Now, he's got great offensive linemen, but he's great at it. And he should get points for that. And I think people miss that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, so I think that's definitely part of it. I think the reason, or it's twofold. One, I do think because of the uniqueness of this list, right, where it is head coaches, GMs, executives, I think we all need to accept that this is just where Jalen is viewed around the league. This isn't about they don't like Jalen. This isn't about they're not get. This is just how they view him. If there was a draft of every quarterback in the NFL, Justin Herbert would go ahead of Jalen. Now, we can feel that's wrong. We can think that that's not giving Jalen the credit for what he's deserved. I'm just saying that list accurately depicts, I believe, how Jalen is viewed around the league. Now, why is it that way? I think it's the same exact reason when we talk about Nick, when we talk about, you know, Jalen. It's the talent on the roster. They are consistently dinged for the talent on the roster. If you look at Justin Herbert in LA, people will look at that and go, he does not have the talent Jalen has. Now, here in Philadelphia, we know that Jalen has been a big part of this roster becoming so talented. I think it's a misconception that when Jalen came into the Eagles, he walked into a great situation. He did not. He was drafted to be a backup with Carson Wentz here and almost no talent on the roster. In 2021, it was not a great situation for a quarterback to be in. Now, is he the reason the roster's improved? No, of course not. Howie has a big part of that. Nick has a big part of it. But AJ had a relationship with Jalen. Devontae had a relationship with Jalen. So yes, it's a better situation, but Jalen is a part of the reason it's such a good situation.
Does the roster need to stink for everyone to eventually value Jalen? When does the underappreciation end?
So I think it sounds extreme, but I think you're probably correct. If Jalen were to go on a 7 or 8 game streak without AJ, without Devontae, maybe without Saquon, obviously that's not something he wants to have happen. That's not something the team wants to have happen. But if the objective is just to get him higher on these lists, then yes, I do think if he was productive without those players around him, it would help him, but that would not be good for the Eagles. So ultimately, if at this time next year, how are we viewing this where Jalen is second or Jalen is top five? I think he's got to win the Super Bowl again. Like, if he wins another Super Bowl, I don't see how the executives around the league, the coaches, the GMs, still have him ninth. But again, I do believe this is where he is viewed around the league. Not where I have him, but I think that we all need to accept Jalen is still viewed around the league lower than the guys that he is lower than on this list.
And where do you have him?
So I think Jalen belongs either 2 or 5, and it depends on how you're making
it. What?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It depends on how
you're three
or riding the fence, and then I don't know what that's called.
Two or five.
Well, I think he's 1 or 20.
I think the Sixers are either going to make the playoffs next year or they're not.
No, no, no. Well, the Sixers aren't going to make the playoffs. But I would put him two. On my list, I have him two. But I think the fair places to put him are either two or five. And it depends how you're doing it. If you want to value the Super Bowl and the fact that he has one and the other four quarter or the other three quarterbacks don't, then he should be two. And if you want to do it off of just pure talent, he's five.
Yeah, but then you can include Stafford and others, Sean. I mean, you know, I mean,
I do include Stafford. Stafford has won a Super Bowl. I value that. I think that boosts Matthew Stafford's value in this list.
So here's one of my arguments against that lean, Elliot. I mean, a guy like
how can you
Eli,
not have that lean?
Like Jim
it's
Plunkett.
It's the most important game of the season.
I never heard anyone call Jim Plunkett a top five quarterback in football. Guy went two.
He played. Yeah, but here's he played like a top five quarterback in those postseasons and in those Super Bowls.
I understand you can have a run. Like Foles was never a top five. I mean, he was
right,
maybe
but
other than
Tom Brady.
Maybe other than 2013, he was never a top 10. Right?
Yeah. I just think the difference is with Eli Manning, he consistently was like a 500 quarterback in his career. Jalen, we point to the Super Bowl, but even if you remove the Super Bowl win, Jalen's resume is pretty impressive. In fact, I would bet if you include the Super Bowl, there are not many people at 26 years old that had the football resume Jalen has from high school to college to the NFL.
No doubt.
Probably not been many. So you are right that Eli Manning was probably never a top five quarterback. But the difference is Jalen wins about 80% of his games consistently, and that has to matter.
Elliot with us right now. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today. All-Star game coming up later tonight. We'll talk more about that as we move forward. From the Tasty Cake studio today. So, Elliot, you know Jalen better than we do. You have access as a beat reporter to the scene down there with great frequency. I'm curious your answer to this question. How much do you think the negative comments bother Jalen? From afar, I sense it probably bothers him a lot. He doesn't let on to it publicly. I know it would bother me. How much do you think it bothers him?
I definitely think it bothers him. I think he is very good at publicly putting on a face of he doesn't care. He doesn't often cause any controversy at the podium. But I think privately, he definitely is aware of what everyone says. I just don't think you can be someone that is so obsessed with greatness and is so obsessed with being viewed as one of the best of all time and then not care about how you're viewed currently.
Don't you think he cares more about how his teammates view him and how his coaches view him than how some ESPN poll views him?
I guess, but I do think that the public narrative around him is something that bothers him, and I do think it's something that should bother him. I mean, he probably thought...
I think it should, too. And I think it motivates him.
Yeah, I think it motivates him. He probably thought, if I win the Super Bowl, that's when I'll get my credit, right? And he has to an extent. Yeah. Let's be clear. I mean, I think on this list, he was unranked last year. So the fact that he's moved up into the top 10 is giving him credit. But no, definitely, from being around Jalen since he's been drafted.
He was unranked, Elliot, last year on this same list?
Remember, John, you got to remember, at the end of 2023,
it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Think about that concept. I mean, if that's what we're talking about here, like,
bad he was at the end. I mean, he took a safety in a playoff game from the 12-yard line. That's hard to do.
I get it, but that was awful. You have to factor in the fact that the same people who last year did not include him on this list.
Like,
I think that says a lot.
It's
and
a
we
jump.
Hadn't even we I didn't know that information. Well, but that last year he wasn't even on this list.
But let's dip back even more in the Jalen story, because I think this one goes.
How is that possible?
Well, again, he was horrible at the end of 23. I think this one goes under discussed, I'll say, Elliot, because we talk an awful lot about the transfer from Alabama to Oklahoma and the benching in Alabama. But here's one that, if I would guess, probably sticks in his craw. The accomplishments in college football, which included a Heisman Trophy finalist, right? Didn't he finish second for the Heisman? Remember?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Finished second for the Heisman Trophy, second round draft pick. Now, there's a lot of Heisman Trophy winners that have been bad NFL, and normally it's quarterback.
Tons.
You know, Gino Toretta's of the world, they win the Heisman, and they did have a great team around them, and they're not great in the pros. And when there's been, I think Danny Werfel, I think, was one of them. So.
Johnny Manziel, is he one?
Well, he didn't win the Heisman.
He never won the Heisman?
No. But the quarterback position, especially on an Alabama or old school Miami, it can lend itself to, like, you win 12, 13 games, you win a national title, you stink in the pros. But I'll say this, Elliot. He was probably cheesed to go in the second round. And let's be real. He should have been a first-round pick. I mean, given what he's put out there, obviously the league misidentified him coming out of college.
Yeah, I would agree. And not only that, he was drafted to be a backup. His own team essentially said when they drafted him, we view you as a backup quarterback. So I think that's part of it. But draft stock does play a huge part. You brought up Nick Foles. Nick Foles, if he was a first round pick, he probably gets more chances to be the Eagles starting quarterback than he ever actually got. But because Carson Wentz was a first round pick, he gets the team back after they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With Jalen had to earn his right to be the starting quarterback. He was never the plan for him to be the starting quarterback. In fact, they kind of lucked into it a little bit, but he had to earn that because of his draft stock. And one thing that's very true, I think in all sports, but definitely in the NFL, where you're drafted impacts your opportunity and how you're viewed a long time after your draft.
I'll give you an example that I agree with you 1,000,000%, Elliot, and Seth Joyner and I have talked about this. I think both on and off the air. The fact that Seth was drafted, I think it was in the eighth or ninth, something like that.
It was later than that. It was a number that I couldn't believe was so high.
It's a number that no longer exists because they only do 7 rounds now. Seth and I both believe is a factor in why he hasn't made the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, for instance, it took an extra couple years for people to even like essentially realize he existed on the national level. So you missed a couple Pro Bowls you could have gotten. Here we are 30, 40 years later. You don't have those early Pro Bowls. And it's like, I guess he wasn't that good. He's not a Hall of Famer. And I mean, to me, that's nonsense because I thought Seth was a flat-out Hall of Fame football player.
Well,
but how it starts sets in motion a lot of things.
If Jalen was a first-round pick, I think we'd be discussing him, and nationally he'd be discussed, as a potential Hall of Fame player based off his resume alone. I think how he would be viewed. And I'm pretty sure all the other 9 quarterbacks on that list were all first-round picks, right?
Yes.
Wow,
so
interesting.
He's the only one that wasn't there.
Interesting. All right, Ellie, a couple other things I want to get to here with you. One of which, and this one bothers me, and I can't say it's the end of the world, and I can't say no one can prove anything with it, but it bothers me, and I think it stinks, that the ring ceremony is, what is it, like 2 days before training camp starts?
Yeah.
So Ray made a point. Matter of fact, I want to play this audio of Ray. Let's listen to the ditty last week, because I asked Ray about the timing of the ring ceremony. He flipped it around and views it differently than I did. Here's something Ray said.
Do you find it annoying and or a little potentially problematic that the ring ceremony, because the rings were delayed coming in, is not until I think it's 2 or 3 days before training camp, which is something a team normally gets out of the way way, way before training camp? Is that irritating and is that potentially a little clunky?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, you get the ring when you get the ring. I don't think there's any prescribed right time or ideal time to do it.
All right, so, Elliot, I've made a point in my life to not disagree with Ray, except when I know I'm right.
You did it 3 times on Friday. I was listening.
Right. All right, so, Elliot, I mean, I feel really confident the right time to do it is not 2 days before the start of training camp.
Oh, come on,
What say you, Elliot?
Yeah, I don't think they would have picked this. In fact, they didn't pick it, right? They did not initially want to do it in this time. Now, I think the biggest thing with this is it's just a buzzkill for the party itself, because you know all night on Friday when they're getting these rings, it's going to be, hey, we got it on Monday. We start back up on Monday. Here we go. Whereas had they done it 6 weeks ago, then maybe they could truly let themselves enjoy it. But as to whether it can be a distraction, if this is a distraction, then we got a 2023 season coming our way. Like, this will be the first test, right? Of this is going to be all year. Maybe the ring ceremony is on Friday, but they're going to be living through a ring ceremony all year. The banner coming down on week 1, all the primetime games. So this will be a good first test. But yeah, no question, they would not have wanted to do it the Friday before training.
Elliot, what do you know about CJGJ? Like the Sweats and the Milton Williams, and I hope they're all there. But like, they didn't say after leaving things CJGJ said. Do we know his status for Friday?
So I don't know his status. I would be surprised if he came just because of what's happened. Well, and also, I mean, he's in Houston now. I think that's one thing with this too. Do these players want to travel to Philadelphia? I know, you know, traveling's not the end of the world for them, but it's not convenient for him. So,
well, right before their own training camp.
Exactly.
That's a pain in the butt for them. The other camps are starting a little bit later because we are earlier with our Thursday night game. So
Chargers
they would
start
have a little
today,
more time.
Though, right? Don't they?
They're rookies reported today.
Oh, the rookies. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I find it, look, I'm not saying it's the end of the world, but I just know after the 2018 experience, I just, this is not what I'd want. I mean, I know Doug had a book in July or August of 2018. I thought that felt misplaced. Like, to me, a ring ceremony to celebrate last year. And look, I know in the NBA they do the banner night, the first night of the next season. Like, but this is what happens
with these rings. I received my ring from the Raiders.
This has never happened before.
I can tell you, this is what happens with these rings, the Super Bowl rings, that conference championship rings. When they get done, it's usually just right before the season. You got to make the order, and it gets bloated, and it takes forever. Everyone's waiting. Mine was delivered at training camp when I was an Eagle.
It's because you didn't play for the Raiders anymore.
I know, but the rings weren't available until we were in training camp. Wow. Like, this is just the way the schedule works out. They're making the best of it. It was delayed a little bit. I'm sure that, it's not ideal.
I don't like it.
They can handle this.
When should they get World Series rings? I just don't know
what you would want them to do.
The first day of the season.
Yeah, but it's not a big
party. But it's not a big party. To give them the rings from last season because they were delayed a little bit.
Plus, that's the day you boo Adam Eaton. That's what you do. Adam Eaton.
We celebrate that every year around here.
All right, Elliot, one last thing. Give us a totally different storyline related to next week and the start of training camp that we haven't discussed.
I mean, after 5 months of talking about this team nonstop every day, it's hard to think of one we haven't discussed. But all right,
I meant in the last freaking 15 minutes. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but one thing I do think I would keep an eye on is Jahan Dotson this year. I think that the depth chart at the Eagles receiver is obviously thin behind the starting two. Jahan Dotson, I thought, had an awesome offseason when I saw him. I think he looks way more comfortable. He got traded right at the beginning of the season last year. And with AJ and the knee issues he had last year, Devontae's always been really healthy. If they miss time, they're going to need guys to step up. And I feel more confident in Jahan Dotson doing that this year than I think
we
I did
forget
last
about
year.
The huge catch he had in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was
in the Green Bay touchdown.
Yeah. Oh, in the Green Bay touchdown. Yeah.
He finished strong. Yeah. Elliot, last thing. Tell me if you agree with this blueprint. Joe versus Jack. Hammer wins tennis. Jack wins running. Hammer wins basketball. Hammer wins overall 3-2, right?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Unfortunately, I think baseball.
Is that supposed to be funny?
No.
Baseball is your last chance.
Is that really what you imagine?
I don't imagine it. It's what I think is going to happen.
I think you could win tennis.
Could win tennis. Come on, man.
Going to win tennis.
So you're saying he's going
to. Why do you think you.
Because I'm better than him.
Joe, you have to run to play tennis.
Hey, it's a little side
action. How do you get to the ball if you don't run?
I do my Jimmy Connors slide. A little slide action.
I wouldn't slide if I were you.
I wouldn't run if I were me. So slide's all I got. So Elliot, why are you backing him so hard? I don't care if you think he'll win. I don't care. I mean, 80% of people think he'll win. But why haven't I gotten more love from you during this process? What the hell, man?
Well, to be fair, I'm the only person at the station that roots for you and beat the Hammer. So I feel like I've done my job in terms of supporting you. But I just think Jack's going to win. I think he's going to win. So I hope you do well. But yeah. I don't think you're going to win.
Elliot, this is the part of the conversation where I hang up on you now, okay?
All right. Talk
See
to
you, buddy. Hey, good luck with camp coming up. We'll talk to you, Tom. Thanks, Elliot.
Yeah,
thanks,
talk to you.
Ruben, we got to start here with something that we began yesterday. And apparently we have a sounder for this, Kyle. What do we have here? So we are doing Quarter Century Week on the Midday Show, which we're trying to crown the top five players in Philadelphia sports over the last 25 years. And with you here today, Ruben, we thought it'd be fun to start with a little Eagles conversation off the top five. Let's hear this.
The Midday Show presents the best Philly athletes of the past 25 years. It's Quarter Century Week.
Makes it sound more official this way. I like this. All right, yes, it is Quarter Century Week.
That got me a little emotional there.
Yeah,
it
feels like 25 years
intense.
Went by fast. Yeah, it does. I felt it in my soul, that one. 25 years went by in a blink. All right, Rube, let's get into it. So there's a lot of ways we can kind of work through this with the Eagles. But last 25 years, this team's been in 4 Super Bowls. They have won 2 rings. They have been one of the best teams, probably a top 5 team in the whole NFL in 25 years. And there's been a lot of great players that have gone through here. So, Ruben, let's go through our list.
Third most wins in the league in
third
that 25.
Most. Yeah. So the third most
Steelers
wins and 2 Super Bowls.
Patriots.
Would you say they're the third best franchise in the last 25 years?
Yeah, I think you have
Patriots,
to.
Patriots, Chiefs,
they're,
Eagles?
Yeah, they're up there.
Well, it's been an incredible run with a lot of great players. Steelers are up there, certainly. So, Rube, when we were talking before the show today about the top 5 Eagles of the last 25 years. And it's not easy.
It's not easy.
I always joke when NBA fans talk about the top five players in the league. They have like nine players on the list because you just think, oh, he's a top five guy. He is. But then you start doing the counting. You're like, I can only have top five guys. That's the way I felt doing my list for the Eagles, where I wrote down. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now. We'll kind of work through how we did this and get into the debate on who should and shouldn't be there. But I wrote down my five, and then I had 3, 6, 9. I had like 12 more guys that I just wrote their name down, and I thought they had a reason to be considered for my top five. So I'll start us off. Rube, can't wait to hear yours. We'll get Kyle's, everyone's. And then we'll get to one name that I think is going to be a point of contention for all of us. Does he belong on the list?
Matt Collins?
Yes, he's easily on mine. 215-592-9494. Ruben Frank, here is how I did my top five. My top five Eagles over the last 25 years. Lane Johnson, Brian Dawkins, Jason Kelsey, Fletcher Cox, and Brandon Graham. Those were my top five. I considered a lot of other people, but I went Lane, Dawk, Kelsey, Fletcher, Brandon Graham. Ruben Frank, you've been covering this team, talking about him forever. Your top five Eagles last 25 years.
Well, I love BG. He's one of my favorite people.
He didn't make your list.
Did not make my list. Probably wouldn't be on my top 10 list, as much as I love the guy. One Pro Bowl, one double-digit sack season. Great Eagle. I think there's three locks. Here's how I went about it. I was like, I wrote down like 12 names.
Yep.
Who are the absolutes just have to be on the list? And I came up with Kelsey, Dawk, and Lane.
I think that's going to be pretty universal. I think those
they
three
have to be on the list.
Yeah, have to be.
And then it came down, I wrote down JP, Fletch, Shady, Deshaun, Donovan, and Jalen. It's kind of my next group.
Okay. So how did you parse those and who made it?
So I got to take two out of that group. And I don't know how you don't, with apologies to Fletch, JP, and Shady, I don't know how you don't have Donovan and Hurts on there.
So you went with both quarterbacks.
I went with both quarterbacks. I avoided the question of which quarterback and went with both of them. Certainly, if somebody had JP, seven Pro Bowls in that 25 years. You know what's interesting about doing this is 2000 is when they got good. You know, 99 was kind of the transition year to
pickle
Andy.
Pickle juice game in 2000 and away they went.
Opening day, pickle juice game, onside kick. Who recovered? It was a Damian Douglas. And that's when they got good. I mean, because Dallas was coming off a run where they had won three Super Bowls. That was really – that day in Dallas at Texas Stadium was the changing of the guard. So these 25 years are really the 25 – it's the best 25-year period in Eagles history. So it works nicely. But, yeah, I'm going to go Lane, Kelsey, Dawk, Donovan, and Jalen.
All right, so Jalen Hurts makes Ruben Frank's list. He did not make my list. Kyle Quinn, you got to break the tie here. And we're going to find out if Jalen Hurts makes your list. Because that's really – when we were in the meeting today and we were all just kind of spitballing our list. That was the name that I was wondering was good because he didn't make my list. And for me, I'm going to give quickly on the Hurts thing because I didn't have Donovan or Hurts. Now, if I could only put one, I would put Hurts because of what he's accomplished in the last 5 years. I'd put Hurts over Donovan. I think Hurts is the best Eagles quarterback of all time. But I don't think he's had enough time in an Eagles uniform to make my list. That's what my point of contention was, that I just didn't – he had enough time, right? Lane's been here since 2012. Brian Dawkins – right, 2013, excuse me, fourth pick in 2013. Dawkins was here the first decade of – almost the first decade of the 2000s. Kelsey was here, you know, the whole time of his career and just retired. Fletcher, again, the whole – like, those guys, to me, put more – in an Eagles uniform, and that's why I put them over Hurts. Their resumes were so long, and Hurts isn't there yet. Kyle, your top five, do you have Jalen?
I did this pretty vastly different from my top 11 list.
Okay.
This one, I think resume was the biggest deciding factor in how I parsed out this list. So obviously Jalen Hurts has to be on there because, like you said, he is, if not the best, the most decorated by far quarterback in Eagles history, two Super Bowls. He's got the Super Bowl win, the Super Bowl MVP. I had Lane Johnson number one. I had Brandon Graham number two. Again, resume. Nobody's played more games in an Eagles uniform. Also two Super Bowl rings. Has the deciding play, the defining play even, in the one Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl in franchise history. I have Jason Kelsey, Jalen Hurts, Brian Dawkins.
Okay, so we have very similar lists. I mean, it's just I don't have Jalen Hurts on there. The quarterback thing, Rube, what's interesting is you had two quarterbacks, and Kyle had Jalen, and I have zero quarterbacks.
Here's my thing on Donovan. Like, when you talk about that period of success from 2000 – like to his last year here, which I guess was what, 2009?
Yes, nine.
I mean, who was the face of the franchise? He won nine playoff games.
He was the face.
I mean, it was that
him and Doc, but he was the
on
face.
Defense. Yeah, Doc. Yeah. But this franchise, that when they turned things around, and you remember how bad it was in the, you know, once Vermeil left in the '80s, and you know, under Buddy, under Kotite, under Ray Rhodes, the '90s were. It wasn't until Donovan and Andy got here that they got good, and they got really, really good. They were a perennial playoff team. They would go deep in the playoffs. They didn't have a lot of talent on offense. They had Westbrook and Deuce, but it was Donovan. Donovan was the franchise for a decade. So to me, he was the most important player in the longest kind of stretch of success that they've had.
Yeah, I mean, you go back and look, 2000, which is exactly when this started, through 04, at those 5 years, 11-5, 11-5, 7-3 in 2002 when he got hurt, 12-4, 13-4. I mean, that is an incredible run for any quarterback, for any franchise. The one thing about Donovan.
Who is he throwing to?
Well, no one until 04.
We don't even get into that, but yeah.
Until 04, no one. The one thing about Donovan, though, that I always kind of, it got in my brain a couple years ago when I started to think Hurts was about to surpass him. After 04, it wasn't as good anymore. No. I mean, he declined, right? The team wasn't quite as good. 4-5, 5-5, 8-6, the 9-6-1 when they ended up in the title game in Arizona. And then they get to the playoffs the next year in 09. That was his last year. I mean,
he had a good regular season.
Yeah.
And then and then it went bad.
Yeah, it did.
Banjo.
Oh, then Dallas.
Yeah. That was it.
And they got traded to Washington, and then was kind of the end.
Yeah.
It was amazing how quickly it did fall off. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, a lot to discuss here with our top fives. So when you call in, we'd love to hear your top five. Top five Eagles last 25 years. There really are so many names. And the question in my mind today is, does Jalen Hurts belong? I did not have him, my top five Eagles the last 25 years. Kyle had him. Ruben had him. Where do you come down? Ruben, just quickly, as I go through the names that I didn't put on my top five, but I just wrote their names down and tried to like parse where I thought they belong. Shady, obviously Donovan, Jalen, Peters. Like, those were the next four I thought about. Then you go to DeSean Jackson was a great player. Malcolm Jenkins was a big-time Eagle for a long time. You go to Trent Cole, Zach Ertz. And then Ruben, I didn't know what to do with T.O. and Saquon, because obviously the time they were here, both brief, Saquon so far, T.O. brief in his time, but they were maybe the best player in the sport, or like the top two or three or four in the sport in an Eagles uniform, and I didn't know what to do with that, because there's no longevity, but my goodness, when they were on the team, they were amazing.
Yeah, and for me, you know, Saquon would be closer to the list than T.O. Yeah,
well, he won the Super Bowl.
For
yeah.
obvious
yeah.
reasons.
And it's gone well, yeah.
Yeah, I just need more than 1 year. And I'll tell you what, if he repeats what he did or comes close to it this coming season, then you have to start thinking about where he is on this list. But it's too soon for me.
We have a new quarterback list out, okay? And every time there's a quarterback list, everyone gets all upset on where Jalen Hurts is ranked, and that disrespect card comes out, that Jalen Hurts is being disrespected.
Right.
So over the past couple months, there's been quite a few of these lists. And today we have one that I think is a little bit different, just because who is making the list, right? If it's, you know, if it's talk show host somewhere, if it's a site, then maybe it's just one writer. This is a survey of executives, coaches, and scouts around the NFL. So Jimmy Fowler, ESPN, surveyed executives, coaches, and scouts in the NFL to rank the best players at each position. And then they kind of put all the numbers together and they ranked them. So let me give you the latest top 10 NFL quarterbacks. Again, coaches, executives, scouts around the NFL. Number one, Patrick Mahomes. Number two, Josh Allen. Number three, Joe Burrow. Number four, Lamar Jackson. Pretty much every list that we've seen this offseason has those same four guys as the top four in some order. Then the conversation has kind of flown off of that, where Jalen Hurts comes down. On this list today, ESPN, number five, Jaden Daniels, Washington Commanders. Number six, Matthew Stafford, Los Angeles Rams. Number seven, Justin Herbert, Los Angeles Chargers. Number eight, Jared Goff, Detroit Lions. Number nine, Jalen Hurts, Philadelphia Eagles. Now, they list their highest ranking, like where is their rank the highest? Like, did someone have one, two, et cetera? The highest ranking Hurts got in this poll was six. The lowest ranking was out of the top 10. And then they wrote, you know, hey, his status is cemented. He's a Super Bowl winner, plays well in big moments. But this at the end, I think, probably illustrates why he's lower on this list. Quote, the question isn't whether Hurts belongs in the top 10. He undoubtedly does. It's whether he has the ability from the pocket to vault into the top five eventually. as his Super Bowl pedigree would suggest he could. More than a few see shades of a Russell Wilson career arc. Hurts has many traits that contribute to winning, but he needs a steady running game around him and wouldn't necessarily thrive in a pass-heavy offense. Number 10, by the way, was Baker Mayfield. Hurts, number 9. Al, your reaction to that?
It's asinine when you look at what he's done, what he's accomplished. I mean, I don't understand it in total with the Eagles, with their coach and their quarterback. Those are the two engines, the twin engines that make a team win. Usually that they get all the credit. Well, you can go all the way back to the Patriots with Brady and the guys lost his mind. But but you can you really look at it and go, how do you do this? How do you get to the Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, rush for as many touchdowns as you have? And don't tell me tush-push, because I've seen teams lose a ball at the one-yard line and lose momentum going in there. And when you look at when you win games, in the NFL, quarterbacks win games on third and fourth down. Jalen Hurts is an incredible third and fourth down quarterback. That is the proving ground for NFL success. Third and fourth down. He's remarkable in third and fourth down. And then he had the gall to mention the passing game. How many games has he taken the top off of things with you're rushing and rushing? You say, oh, well, that sets up the pass. You're going to make that pass. I don't understand how people that are involved with football, I can understand analytics people or whatever, that people would just look at decimal points. But I don't understand how people who are actually involved in the game don't understand the impact that a quarterback has in a huddle to get guys to do things, to have a team that has so much potential and everybody, okay, you're going to get the ball, you're going to get the ball, you're going to get the ball, and nothing seems to bother anybody, and that comes from the quarterback, especially in a city where you saw a franchise go off the rails with a guy that couldn't do that.
Right.
To come in and do that like this and then get slighted in a ranking like this is insane to me.
So I agree with a lot of what you said there. And I do think he brings a lot of wonderful traits. Third and fourth down, he is very good, right?
Oh, geez. When you watch every Sunday, just watch the games. That's where you win and lose games.
But how much of that is because of the team he has around him? It's part of it. It's part of it. I can't separate that. It is part. So here's my perspective. I'd have him ranked higher than this. When I did my list, I had him sixth. I think he should be higher than 9. I think 9 is too low. And I'd have him above Justin Herbert, who has struggled in the biggest moments in big games and has stunk in the playoffs. Even though Herbert's very talented, he's stunk in the playoffs. So I think this is too low. But I don't know, people feel like he's being disrespected here. Al, I don't think it's disrespect. Here's my theory on it. The Eagles are viewed as the best roster in the NFL. Like that's they're viewed. I heard Ray last week said there's the first time they're ever entering a season as the unquestioned best team in the NFL. So if you have the best team, they made the coach and the quarterback don't have to be the best at their profession to win with that team. I think Hurts is good. I think he's really good. But we did see the first four games last year where they asked him to throw more and they didn't perform. That happened. And then they asked less of him in terms of the passing game and the whole operation worked better. It's tough for me to reconcile that with what he does super well. He does a lot of things. I don't think this is disrespect. I feel like a lot of people feel he's being disrespected. Do you?
Yes. You just took apart the quote of the best, one of the best. You just took somebody apart in a Super Bowl.
But isn't greatness consistency? Not the ability to do something.
Greatness is winning.
Well, but okay.
Greatness is winning.
Yeah, but
that's what it
is. When Nick Foles won, was he great?
Well, he won one. This resume, he's already put together resume. I mean, Foles is an outlier in terms of things.
Yeah.
Getting somebody over a finish line.
Let's use Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's good. He's a very good player.
I agree. I actually think it's the best comp for him. He's Russell Wilson-ish in his prime. Now, Russell was very good, but I'll just speak for myself. I never thought Russell was as good as Rodgers, as good as Peyton, as good as Brady, but he was really good.
Yeah.
And that's the way I kind of view Hurts right now. He's really good, but I think every time these lists come out and he's not 1, 2, 3, or 4, people find it disrespectful. He's 9 on this list, a little bit lower. What's interesting about this one, and you said it, Al, this is not some guy making the list.
No, yeah.
This is and I saw people reacting this morning because WIP put out the list and it was like, oh, it's just ESPN trying to drive, you know, whatever. Well, but it's Jeremy Fowler asking a GM, hey, give me a list. Send me your list. Top 10 quarterbacks. Like, that person who's responding has no skin in the game for a list, right? They're just responding because they know the reporter and they want to help them out. This is real. Like, this is what people in the NFL think.
Well, it's crazy to me to have as much success as he's had. And he's been, the numbers aren't eye-popping, but you can't dismiss touchdowns. I mean, the things that he does are things that put points on the board. I mean, you know, you have a guy that's so good at something that they want to abolish it.
Well, that they do, and they tried.
I mean, come on. How many times, if you're a great, people look at basketball and say the great players, they change rules for great players. Mm. Well, my God.
Like the triangle defense, the triangle offense, and the hand checking,
keys, time in the key, all that stuff. This guy's so good at something that they want to change the rules.
Yeah, and they might eventually. They almost did it this year. Kyle, where do you come down? Is Jalen Hurts being disrespected? Because I feel like that is where people feel like wherever his ranking is, there's a sense of disrespect towards Hurts that people feel.
Yeah, but that's only for the people who've deluded themselves so far. And like, I think last season, to a large degree, has been, and I'm coining the term here, Hurts washed, where people sit here and say, well, Jalen Hurts is a winner, which he is. Now, all of a sudden, he should be number two quarterback in the NFL. He's the best player in the city. Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl for us. Like, none of those things are true, but people have gone so far in that direction that anything even slightly the other way, when he was ranked five, people were saying it was disrespectful. I wouldn't put him at nine myself. But to sit here and act like him being listed as a top 10 quarterback in the NFL is disrespect to the guy, I just think you're asking for too much. Like, why can't it be okay for people to say, we have a quarterback that can win you the biggest game with a good team around him? Like, that should be enough for everybody. But people have to push it and go too far and say, no, this is the best. We have the best this. We have the best that. How about we have the best team in the league right now? That's great. We don't necessarily need to have the number one quarterback in the NFL. And guess what? We don't. It's okay. Is he number nine? No. But he's also not number one. He's also not number two. And I don't think it's disrespect. I think it's crazier to say he's the best athlete in the city than it is to say that he's the number nine quarterback in the NFL.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, I think this is what it is. He's a good player. But I think we've gotten, like you mentioned the winning thing. How much of it is because of him, though? Right? The because of versus he's part of it. NFL history, usually the quarterback is given the most credit for everything. That's usually the way it is.
But quarterbacks are more than their statistics.
I agree with
quarterbacks
that.
Quarterbacks can sell to a team, to a locker room. And in fact, when you look at this team and you look at how the defense gets along with the offense, all of that is part of that reason is the quarterback. Part of the reason is how he handles himself to put them in a position on a field where they think they're going to win, where they'll sell out for him, whatever it takes. Where you have receivers with big egos that just deal with everything because he never lets it get out of control.
Let me throw a different sport comp at you that I'm curious where you come down on it, especially because you're a baseball guy. I think there's some Derek Jeter to him. Derek Jeter was a very good player.
Yeah, yeah.
But like in the late 90s, early 2000s, Derek Jeter wasn't as good as Barry Bonds, right? Derek Jeter wasn't as good as Ken Griffey Jr.
Derek Jeter shouldn't have even been playing shortstop on that team.
I agree. A-Rod was a better shortstop. Yeah. But he was the leader of a dynasty.
Yeah.
And you go back and I think about that, and I think Jalen's similar to him.
Well, that's not a bad. I mean, that's a good place to be.
I mean it as a compliment.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean I thought Jeter was the best player in baseball in 2000. He had won three straight World Series. He won a World Series MVP. I didn't think he was the best player in baseball.
Well, if you had taken polls, then where would he have landed?
You know what?
Very, very high.
He probably would have.
Yeah,
but he's
so lunatics.
But he is high. He's sixth or ninth.
No, Jeter would have been on the top of whatever. That's
well,
where it
he
goes.
He shouldn't have been.
But he was. That's because he won. That's because he won. That's what this guy does. He does that to you. He makes you. He makes other players better.
Let me ask you a question. Then we'll go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. And I know it's a hard question. If this poll was done at the end of the second round of the playoffs, would this be a disrespectful ranking? Before the NFC Championship game and before the Super Bowl?
Maybe it would have been more in line.
Yes.
But you can't undo what would have happened. So they decide to stop a run. Doesn't that mean your quarterback has to do something different?
No. Well, no. Most of the season was played before that point.
But it's not. It's the whole season. You can't look at it that way. You can't go and disassemble a season. This is what they did. This is what it built to. It's not. What's the cliche? It's the journey. You can't just look at it. These four games here. These four. No. Look at what happened at the beginning of that season. Things look like they're coming apart. You have to look at that whole season on what happened. That's crazy to go back and say, well, he wasn't that good then, and then you know, everything kind of clicked.
But isn't that what greatness is? Look, it's consistent excellence. Isn't it?
What's more consistent? Where's his failures?
Well, I mean, they were 28th in passing.
I don't care. No, the failures in terms of this organization. I mean, one season kind of dipped.
He's had a great start to his career. Right? Okay. We all agree that.
Well, hold on. If we're going to keep the same energy because he gets credited with the Super Bowl win, does he not get credited when the team totally fell apart? Like, if the winning is going to be on his shoulders.
That doesn't count. No.
Yeah, right. Then the losing has to, too. And, like, I'm sorry, but this is why I think the season, to a large degree, has been Hurts-washed. The wide receiver had to come out and say that the problem with the offense was the passing game.
It didn't happen.
It's clearly not on A.J. Brown. I don't think he was talking about himself. I don't think he was talking about the offensive line. And I don't think he was talking about the play calling.
But what happened after that?
He played two great games. He played two great games. I mean, they were amazing. They were all-time Eagles games. I mean, they were, right? A championship game and a Super Bowl. Yeah. He played amazing. But does that make him better than what he is in totality? That's where I don't think this is disrespect.
I think you can't look at, like, you say, okay, they had a flat spot with the passing, whatever. What if your whole coaching staff or your whole organization is set up so that you're hitting on all cylinders at the end. You're just softening up everybody in a game. It's what they do in games,
yeah,
too.
Right.
But that, you have to then look at the end result.
But I agree with that. But that's it wasn't like the playoffs were a steady climb up. I mean, the Rams game in the divisional round, he played bad.
Yeah, what if that was the end result?
It wasn't.
But not to Jalen Hurts' credit. Like, if Jalen Carter doesn't sack Matthew Stafford, then what's the conversation here? Because this... Hurts washed. It's like he carried the team through the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. It was the defense.
It was the defense. And Hurts, I think we all know this. He played great in the Super Bowl and the title game.
It's ultimately, when you look at it, you have to only look at it if you want. Look at Tom Brady, who's recognized as the all-timer, right? You can easily go back and have him win no Super Bowls.
All those games were close. They were all close.
All of them.
All close.
But what happened in most of them?
He won them.
Yes.
But there's one missing part of this. He needed to have a drive in most of those games to win the Super Bowl, right? Like, he needed to take his team down.
Yes.
And early it was Vinatieri kicking the field goal to win.
Yes.
But Jalen hasn't had to have anything like that. Now, I'm giving him credit because they're up 30 points, so he doesn't need to lead a game-winning drive. But it's not like he's been down six with 2 minutes to go and went and won the game. The closest was the Super Bowl two years ago.
Super Bowl 2 years previous.
And they were down eight. He tied it.
He makes a mistake, comes back and plays great. Yeah.
He tied it. But this pet, when he won his Super Bowl, it wasn't like that. We don't have that moment.
Yeah, well, I find it fascinating that it's a city like Philadelphia with a franchise like the Eagles, with a coach-quarterback combination that continually gets...
Slighted is a better word. I'll give you that.
The impact that they have on this organization.
Yeah, it is. It's viewed as more of they're part of it, but they're not the driving force.
Yeah.
Your read is right. I mean, clearly the executives are saying.
But I did need to touch on what's kind of been the big talking point of the day. I heard Joe and Al talking a lot about it during the midday show today, and I saw it this morning, and I wanted to give my take as well, because ESPN released a survey this morning in which executives, scouts, coaches, a mixture of all three, were asked to rank the quarterbacks in the NFL. And of course, when it comes to Jalen Hurts, a touchy subject in Philadelphia, touchy subject on this show particularly, but Jalen Hurts ranked ninth. by the executive scouts and coaches in the NFL. I'll give you my take in a second, but here was James Jones of FS1 commenting on this earlier today.
Yeah, looking at that right there, that's awful.
Oh.
And well, you can think whatever you want to think about Jalen Hurts, but there should never be a list to where Justin Herbert is front of Jalen Hurts. I don't really care about what type of talent and all that you're talking about. And then Jaden Daniels is going to be a superstar in this league. I truly believe that. But I cannot put him in front of Jalen Hurts, who's been to two Super Bowls. He's had one good year. Do I think at the end of this, when it's all said and done, could he possibly be better? Yes, absolutely. But right now, as we're talking right now, after 1 year, no. And then I see Justin Herbert at 7, who hasn't won a playoff game. This boy's been to more Super Bowls than you won playoff games. And we're talking about Justin Herbert's a better quarterback than him. I cannot do that. I think this is disrespectful to Jalen Hurts right here. This is an awful list when you have Jalen Hurts at 9 and those two dudes in front of him.
Now, the way this list broke down, as you heard James Jones mention there, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, and Matt Stafford. Those were all the guys ranked above Jalen Hurts. He came in at number 9. Now, I'll say this to start. I would rank Jalen Hurts higher than 9. Before people start freaking out, screaming rage bait, stuff like that, I would rank Jalen Hurts higher than 9, I'll say this in regards to the ranking. I don't think 9 is egregious when you look at the rankings here. And I want to know if you agree. 215-592-9494, if you want to get in. Do you think it's egregious? Do you think it's disrespectful for Jalen Hurts to be ranked 9th? I don't. And I'll explain it like this. It's based on your criteria. If you are evaluating this based on last year's regular season, which I'm imagining was probably how this was mostly judged here, I think 9 is totally fair. Like, people might not like some of the guys that are ahead of him here, but, you know, you look at Daniels, you look at Herbert, Jared Goff, Matt Stafford, I think they all, maybe with Stafford being the exception, I think they all probably had better regular seasons than Jalen Hurts last year. So I don't think that's a crazy ranking to have. Now, if you're taking everything into consideration, you're taking team success into consideration, playoff performance, etc., then yeah, I don't think there's any way where Justin Herbert and Jared Goff should be in front of him. I mean, Justin Herbert and Jared Goff, specifically Herbert, they had terrible postseasons. I mean, Goff turned the ball over like 4 times against Washington. Herbert, for years now, has been a choker. I mean, they had that 27-0 lead against Jaguars a few years ago. He played absolutely awful in their playoff game this past year against Houston. And I would take that into account. But if it's based on the entirety of the season and how these guys performed in the regular season, then 9's about right for Jalen Hurts. And I know this kind of upsets people every single time where a list comes out and they think Jalen's being slighted and it's unfair, but I don't think it's that crazy. And when I look at Jalen Hurts, I'd have him ranked 6th right now. I would have him below the top 4, which I think are unquestionably Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Like, if I'm taking a quarterback to start my team, I'm probably taking one of those 4, and then 5th, I'll be honest, I'd have Jaden Daniels above Jalen Hurts right now. I mean, Jalen Hurts obviously won a Super Bowl, but Jaden Daniels in his first year, I think, carried a team that we knew what Washington was before this season, before they had a quarterback. That was a team that was not very good. The one major thing that changed with Washington from a roster perspective, obviously they brought in Dan Quinn. He's, I'd say a decent head coach. I don't think he's a great head coach. But Jaden Daniels was the main roster change that they made. And look at the impact that had on their team. So I'd have him number 5. And that's not hating. It's just reality. And if you asked if you can take a quarterback to start your team, yeah, I'd take Jaden Daniels over Jalen Hurts right now. But I still think 6th is pretty damn good. I think big games do matter, which is why I would not have him 9th. I'd have him 6th on the list. I'd definitely have him above Stafford. I'd have him above Goff. I'd have him above Herbert. But I think when you look at the list, if the criteria is how did these guys perform during the last regular season, I don't think 9's outrageous. And I know people scream about it, people be upset about it. I don't think it's crazy, and I want to know how you feel. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. Get to the phones on this in a second, but I'll ask you, Justin, do you think 9 is egregious for Jalen Hurts being ranked in this ESPN list?
Yeah, I think 9 is absolutely egregious, and I understand what you're saying about this criteria, but I think that criteria in itself is flawed. To not take into consideration the intangibles and the postseason is fraudulent. And you're saying that you would like a quarterback like Jaden Daniels over Jalen Hurts. If you were starting a team from scratch, you would draft him over Jalen Hurts, which doesn't make sense to me, because the intangibles are the most important thing I look at when I'm talking about a quarterback to lead my team, to lead my franchise. And Jalen Hurts has those things. Jaden Daniels was doing emotes in the end zone while scoring down 3 scores in the NFC Championship game. That's not a guy I want leading my team. It's immature
Jaden
stuff
Daniels
like that I don't
great.
Like.
Jaden Daniels played great in that game. He's not the reason Washington lost.
I understand that. Jaden Daniels has a little bit of growing up to do, and part of that is the intangibles that Jalen Hurts has. He is mature enough to, I don't need to worry about him doing stupid stuff like that that would piss me off.
I didn't have the same impression of Jaden Daniels in that game. Like, when he scored that touchdown, that made it 34-23. And I'll just say this. I was terrified of Jaden Daniels.
And he was doing
that
emotes.
That entire game.
Oh, my God.
What is he? What are emotes?
He was, like, dancing in the... It's like, he was, like, dancing in the end zone. Yeah. Emote is, like, an emotion.
I don't care about that stuff. Whatever. I mean, the guy scores a touchdown, fine.
Down. You score a touchdown when your team's still down.
And I would agree. Like, Jalen Hurts, his performance in big games is, like...
Unquestionable.
It should absolutely be taken into account. There's no question about it. And I think... With Jalen Hurts, you look at the fact, and I think the best thing he has going for him at this point in his career is the 3 best games that he's played were the 3 biggest games of his career. The 2 Super Bowls and the NFC Championship game this year. The NFC Championship game in 2022, that game was over the second Brock Purdy got hurt. So yeah. You can kind of throw that in the trash right away. But I do think, like, there is there's an alternate universe here that we need to at least entertain. Where what if Jalen Carter doesn't sack Matt Stafford? We're having a completely different conversation about Jalen and this team this year. Because if Carter doesn't make that play and the Rams score, what are we talking about with Jalen all offseason? That Jalen wasn't good enough, that the offense wasn't good enough, and that cost the Eagles the Super Bowl. Are we not?
But you're talking about hypotheticals that didn't happen. What did happen is Jalen Carter did get that sack. What did happen is the Eagles did win the Super Bowl on the back of Jalen Hurts. So these hypotheticals don't matter to me. Because the Eagles did win the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts did carry the Eagles to a Super Bowl. And Jalen Hurts is behind Justin Herbert on this list, who didn't win a playoff game.
I agree, and that matters. And I think 9 is probably too low. Like, I do. I think 9 is too low. I don't think 6 is too low at all. Like, I think 6 is totally fair, and that's the thing.
The only problem in the 6 I have is Jaden Daniels, just because it's 1 year. It's the same thing a couple years ago. Everybody had C.J. Stroud above Jalen Hurts, and it didn't make any sense. And then, look, C.J. Stroud fell back down to earth.
Well, I think Jaden Daniels is better than C.J. Stroud.
But let's give it another year to see. You don't even really know what the guy has.
But we're judging on right now. Like, yeah, we're judging on what we saw this past year.
And what I saw this past year is Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl.
No, he did. He absolutely did. But we can't just take that and just dismiss the entire rest of the season. Like, I think it all plays into it. And I think when you take it all into account, I mean, 6 is about right. Like, in that 6-10 range, I think that's totally fair for Hurts. And again, the one that bothered me more than any is Herbert. Like,
yes,
Herbert,
I agree.
Should not be above Hurts. I would agree with that.
But Goff, neither should Goff.
But Goff,
Stafford was bad all year.
Stafford, I would agree too. I've thought Stafford was overrated for a while now. And I would have Hurts in front of Goff, but Goff did have a much better regular season than Jalen Hurts did. He had a terrible playoff game, which is why I personally would put Jalen in front of him. But I don't think we can just look at the last couple games and say, Jalen won the World Series, we can throw the rest of the year out. I don't look at it that way. Yeah, he did win the Super Bowl.
You said World Series.
Oh, sorry. Mixing up my sports here. But I don't think we can look at Jalen winning the Super Bowl and just throw out the rest of the season. If that makes sense.
Yeah, but I at the same time, I don't think it's fair, because you were saying earlier that the ESPN list's criteria is the regular season, and I don't think that's fair to just look at the regular season.
Well, that's what I'd imagine
I would personally weigh playoff and postseason success far heavier than regular season success.
I agree with you. Like, I agree with you in that way. I would have him above those 3 guys, but I wouldn't have him above Daniels right now. I would have Dan. Like, if you told me right now, like, I can start a franchise, I can take either Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels, I'm taking Jaden Daniels.
I hear the argument. I disagree with it.
Okay, fair enough. But I'd love to get the audience's take as well. Jalen Hurts, ninth. Do you think it's egregious? I think it's wrong. I don't agree with it. Would not have Jalen Hurts nine. I'd have him sixth. But if the criteria is the regular season, I can at least understand it. Like, and I can understand how you get to that point. Again, I don't agree with it. I would have Jalen sixth. But do I think it's like the most disrespectful thing in the world? No. And I think, you know, I just think people get too sensitive with this stuff, with Jalen Hurts. And there's no question about it, man. He came through big in the biggest moments, and I was wrong last year. I thought in the postseason, I thought that Jalen's shortcomings, I thought Jalen's play was going to cost the Eagles. In the end, he was able to play his ass off in that Washington game and in the Super Bowl, and the Eagles were able to win those games. But I don't discount the rest of the season. I don't just look at the rest of the season and say, oh, well, Jalen played great in those last two games, so we can forget about the Rams game. We can forget about the Packers game when the offense wasn't great. We can forget about the rest of the season when the storyline all year long was, you know, is quarterback play going to stop this team? I think six is totally fair. I think six is totally fair for Jalen Hurts. But want to know where you fall? Where would you have him ranked? Do you think nine is disrespectful? And more than anything else, do you think six is disrespectful? That's where I have him. Nine, I think most people would agree, is too low. I think it's too low as well. But where would you have Jalen Hurts ranked and why? We obviously talked a lot about Jalen Hurts, and that kind of dominated the conversation. Jalen Hurts being ranked ninth on the ESPN list. I told you, I understand if you're looking at the regular season, how Jalen Hurts could be ranked there. I would have him higher. I'd have him number six on my list. And if you'd like to discuss that today, we can. But off of that, I started thinking about how we look at the Eagles going into this season. And obviously, camp starting up next week. It's kind of crazy that that's already upon us here. And we're going to start looking at how the Eagles are going to be able to try to defend this title this season. And they have a legit chance to repeat. I mean, let's look at it and let's look at this team. They have a much better chance than they did back in 2018 when that roster was not nearly as good as I think we thought and maybe hoped it was at the time. I think they have a much better chance to be really good again than they did in 2023 coming off that Super Bowl loss. But I was thinking about this team and how it projects moving forward here. And I think the general consensus seems to be that the concern is on the defensive side of the ball. They've lost players on that side of the ball, pretty much half your starting defense. The offense, for the most part, remains the same. So I get it from that standpoint, but in the end, I disagree. I think when you look at the Eagles this year, I think the concern lies far more on the offensive side than it does on the defensive side. I think the Eagles' bigger worry, the Eagles' bigger concerns are offensively than defensively. And I think if one side of the ball isn't going to live up to their end and isn't going to meet expectations this year, I think it's going to be the offense. And I want to know if you agree to start the show. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. Which side of the ball at this point concerns you more with the Eagles going into 2025? Is it the offense or is it the defense? What's the bigger concern? And for me, it's the offense. And I'll explain why. Because my assumption, and who knows, we'll see how it plays out throughout the course of the show, but my assumption is that most people will not agree with this. Mostly based off conversations this offseason we've had with people. And I get it to an extent. The Eagles have lost players on defense, no question about it. They lost Milton Williams. Lost Josh Sweat, lost Slay, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a lot of different faces, a lot of different levels of that defense, to be honest. But I've said consistently, I don't feel like any of the guys that the Eagles lost this offseason on that side of the ball significantly hurt your chances to compete for a championship and have this defense be as good as they were last year. I mean, you lose C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I'll just say right off the top, I think that was a good move. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a guy who we have vastly overrated here because people like his personality. People like the edge that he plays with. I don't think C.J. Gardner-Johnson's that great. I think he is an average safety in the NFL. I think he's going to be a pretty easy guy to replace, to be honest. Josh Sweat, I think we look at fondly because of the playoff run he had, but he was not having an incredible year before that postseason last year. This is the same guy that last offseason nobody wanted. The Eagles had him take a pay cut because they tried to trade him, and they could not trade him last year. Slay, I think, is a legitimate loss because that's the one spot where I don't think you have guys immediately ready necessarily to step in, but I'm confident you've been developing these young corners in your system. I'm confident that you'll find one of these guys, whether it's Ringo, whether it is Eli Ricks, somebody that you've been developing over the last couple of years, I think will step in and be able to replace Darius Slay adequately. The best player you lost is Milton Williams, and you have depth there. You have Moro Ojomo. You have Ty Robinson, who people are really high on, coming out in this draft as being a guy that can step into that spot. But most importantly, you have Jalen Carter. And I think we've spent so much time this offseason talking about what the Eagles have lost and not enough about what they have and what they still have. You have Jalen Carter, who I think has a legit possibility of this year's third season in the NFL being the best defensive player in football. I think that is how good Jalen Carter could be. We did our top 11 voting a few weeks ago. I had Jalen Carter second on my list. Made the biggest, I think the second biggest play in Eagles history, that sack on Stafford. He is a great player. He makes everybody around him better. The Eagles do not get enough credit for bringing Zach Bond back. I know they didn't do a ton of free agency as far as bringing players in from the outside, but keeping Zach Bond was the number one objective this offseason. The Eagles did that. You have Cooper DeJean, you have Quinyon Mitchell, these young phenoms on the back end who are now going into their second year. They're only going to get better. They have another year of experience, another year in the scheme, and that's the biggest part of things. You still have Vic Fangio, in my mind, the best defensive coordinator in football. That was one of the best coaching jobs I've ever seen a coach do last year, what Vic Fangio was able to do with that defense, and now you have a defense that is truly built in Vic Fangio's image. I mean, he had to go on the fly last year. A lot of those guys weren't his players. A lot of those guys hadn't played in his scheme before. Now you have a legitimate chance to mold your defense in Vic Fangio's image. I think you can tell by the way the Eagles drafted, that draft was largely Vic Fangio impacted. Like, he had a massive say, in my mind, as far as who the Eagles took, how they're going to slot into this defense. Just look how heavily that draft was weighted into defense. Yeah, and you bring in those rookies. You have Jahad Campbell, who might not be ready at the start of the year. Jahad Campbell is going to play a massive role for this team at some point. And then you look on the other side and you look at the offense. And yes, it's mostly a lot of the same players, aside from Mekhi Becton, which, who knows, could be a big loss. I think you could probably replace him, but Mekhi Becton was great last year. Mekhi Becton was an all-pro guard last year. But let's face it, regardless of what you or I or anyone else thinks of Jalen Hurts, this was a running team last year. This was a team that was 28th in passing in the NFL. It's not going to be able to work that way again. Teams have studied all offseason on how to neutralize Saquon Barkley. Teams have looked at all offseason, how do we shut down this running game? It's not going to work as well every week. I'm not going to say that the Eagles won't be able to run the ball. When you have this offensive line, you have Saquon Barkley, and you have Jalen Hurts as a running threat, you should be able to run the ball effectively. But do I think it's going to be as effective as it was last year? No, I think that's kind of an impossible bar to measure up to. You're not going to be able to lean on the run game. You will need to throw more. And can I say that I am fully 100% confident that the Eagles can win that way? Week after week after week, I can't say it fully. Now, I feel a hell of a lot better about it than I did before the championship game in the Super Bowl, because that was one of the big questions all year. And in those two games, the two biggest games of the season, when Jalen Hurts needed to throw effectively for the Eagles to win, he was able to do it. That certainly gives me a lot more confidence than it did before those games. But let's face it, man, two games is not a huge sample size. And I can't be fully sure without having seen it, without having seen, okay, this can be a passing football team. This can be a team that's not going to be as reliant on Saquon Barkley, that's not going to be as reliant on the running game. You're going to need to throw the football more. And let's face it, the biggest thing on that side of the ball, just like I said on defense, the biggest thing is bringing back Vic Fangio, him having another year to mold this defense in him, his image. You're making an offensive coordinator change. And I thought Kellen Moore did a phenomenal job last year of playing to Jalen Hurts' strengths, playing to this offense's strengths, putting them in positions to be successful week over week. Now, Kevin Petullo steps in, who, by the way, was the passing game coordinator, a passing game that was not great throughout the course of the majority of the season. And it's unfair to just look at the coordinator change and say solely based off that, that this season is going to go the way 2023 did? I don't know. I don't know how great of a coach, how great of a play caller Kevin Petullo is going to be. But all I know is this is his first time calling plays. He's never done it before. We saw how that went with Brian Johnson in 2023. It wasn't great. I mean, 2023, you look at that season and why that season kind of disintegrated on both sides of the ball. It was the coordinator changes. That is a big deal. That is something that I think will at least affect this offense to a degree, because Kellen Moore, man, he didn't get that Saints job for no reason. Kellen Moore got that Saints job because he did an unbelievable job here last year. And Kellen Moore, regardless of where he's been, whether he's been in Dallas, whether he's been with the Chargers here in Philadelphia, he had really good offenses wherever he went. That's because Kellen Moore is a great coach on that side of the ball. Kellen Moore is a really good play caller. Now, does that mean Kevin Petullo will stink? No. But I think it's hard to expect that this offense is just going to pick up where they left off, that they're going to be clicking on all cylinders from day one. And yeah, when I look at this season, even though you've lost more players on defense, I'm more concerned about the offensive side of it than the defensive side of it. And I want to know if you agree. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. That's how you get in to start the show. I'm more concerned about the Eagles' offense going into this season than their defense. I'm assuming most people will disagree with that, but that's where I am. I think even though you lost the pieces on defense, you have a lot of those young guys coming back. You have year two of Vic Fangio. Offensively, you change coordinators. You have a lot of the same players, but I do think there are other challenges that could affect this offense this year. And I want to know how you feel. 215-592-9494. Go to the phones in a few minutes here, but Luke Nichols producing the show today. And I'll ask you, Luke, as we go into this 2025 Eagles season, which side of the ball concerns you more at this point? Is it the offense or is it defense?
No, it's definitely the defense. I think there's so many more question marks defensively than there is offensively. Now, I'll give you Petullo being nervous about a new offensive coordinator. We've been through this every single year where there's a new offensive coordinator. I wouldn't compare him to Brian Johnson, though. Brian Johnson was at Florida and then came to the Eagles, was on the Eagles coaching staff for 1 year, and then became the offensive coordinator of the team. Kevin Petullo's been in the NFL outside of 1 year where he went to Texas A&M, I think, since 2007. And he's had a ton of different roles. He's in with a ton of different head coaches. So he has the experience that Brian Johnson lacked. But back to the defense, I'm nervous about the defensive line. I get it, we have Jalen Carter. But it's a lot of like, oh, Mauro Ojomo looked really good last year. Oh, Ty Robinson was a big steal. Can Nolan Smith continue his play from the second half of the year last year? Jalix Hunt right now is, what, the second starting defensive end? He's going to be on that starting defensive line? He's still very raw to that position.
They have Azeez Ojulari. He's a former first-round pick.
Oh,
don't forget
course.
About him. Don't forget about Josh Uche. Had 11.5 sacks in 2022.
My apologies. Luke. Let me rework my entire opinion here. But no, and then the cornerback two position, you still don't really know. Right now, it kind of feels like it's just being given to Kelee Ringo. Has he proven enough so far to just be handed that position? I don't know. Even at safety, you got Reed Blankenship and then who? Sidney Brown? Andrew Makuba? Makuba isn't even signed yet. So even at linebacker, you don't have him. You never know. But then at linebacker, you're not going to have N'Kobe Dean for how long? So then you have Zach Bond, and then who's going to be right there? Is it going to be Trott? Is it going to be Van Sumeren? Or is he going to be the fullback every single play now? So I'm worried about the defense. I get it. We have Vic Fangio, and he did great last year, and we had an entire draft pretty much for Vic Fangio. But even with all that, there's still a ton of question marks at every level of the defense. I get it, we have Cooper, DeJean, and Quinion, and Bond, and Jalen Carter, and those guys are great, and that's the core of your defense. You just got to round out the edges here.
Yeah, I got you. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, which side worries you more going into this season or concerns you more? Because I don't think it qualifies as worry, I mean, at this point. But which side concerns you more, the offense or the defense? For me, it's absolutely the offense. And again, like, to bring back, to have all those core players at each level of your defense, to me, is a massive deal. Like, Jalen Carter, and I was a huge Fletcher Cox fan. I think Fletcher Cox was underrated throughout the majority of his career here. Jalen Carter is already better than Fletcher Cox ever was at any point in his career. And that is not speaking lightly, because Fletcher Cox in 2016, 2017, 2018, he was incredible. He was one of the best defensive linemen in football. Jalen Carter's already better. Zach Bond is coming off of a season where he was a nominee for Defensive Player of the Year. and made huge, impactful plays really in every game, really in every playoff game. And you look at that secondary, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, what those guys did, they did in their rookie seasons. They did for the first time in their career. You don't think that they're going to get better, that they're going to improve. And with Vic Fangio leading this thing, I just don't really have concerns about the defense. They were so great last year that even with the pieces they lost, I'm not really worried about them stepping in, the guys behind him stepping in, the guys behind the players they lost, and contributing this year. And the offensive side of it, the coordinator change is something that I really don't think we talk enough about. And not just because of what happened in 2023, because we saw what happened with the offense, Brian Johnson, that year. But the league catches up. Like, this is a smart league of coaches who obsess over this. And you, if you don't think every coach in the NFL, every defensive coach in the NFL who's got the Eagles on their schedule this year, they spent the last 6-7 months in part, you know, designing ways to make the Eagles do what they don't want to do. And I think it's pretty clear, based on last year, based on the majority of last year, the Eagles would prefer to run the football instead of throw the football. And I think it's a lot for a coach like Kevin Petullo, who doesn't have a ton of experience. And here was Kevin Petullo, when he was hired, talking about his approach when it comes to play calling.
What is your philosophy or approach as a play caller?
My approach, right, is put the players in the best position they can to be successful. And then that's what it comes down to. You know, you want to make sure they're confident in everything that they can do, and you want to be confident as a coach that you put them in that position so that they can go out there and do their best.
And, yeah, I mean, that sounds good in theory, but I think it's really tough to actually implement play calls that put players in the best position. Here was a little more from Petullo on adjusting to his new role.
Who were some of the play calls since you come into this new role?
I mean, really, some of it's still similar, right? The biggest thing, obviously, is I'm the one voice in the offensive room. I still had a big voice prior to, but it's really not a ton different. You know, a lot of the staff is together. We have a great staff, right? We have the best O-line coach in the NFL. We have the best tight end coach, the best receiver coach, best running back coach. And then we added a couple new coaches. And I worked with Parks Frazier at the Colts, and he's expanded his game. So it's really not that much different. You know, and like I said, those guys are so good at what they do. It's great for me, and as a whole staff, we really, really do well together.
And, you know, I hope that this is as seamless as I think the Eagles obviously hope it's going to be, but I'd feel better with a coach with more experience. I mean, one element of the offseason that I didn't love was not interviewing other people, not interviewing other coaches, not getting different perspectives, because I think if the Eagles' idea is, well, we have all this continuity, we're just going to run it back, and we're going to essentially do the same thing that we did last year, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Teams catch up. The league catches up. And that's why you look back at the Patriots when they were on their great run. They would change every year. They would change basically every week, where they'd have some weeks where they'd run the ball 40 times. Next week, Tom Brady comes out and throws it 40 times. Look at the Chiefs over the course of the last few years. They have evolved and changed from being a deep passing team with Patrick Mahomes to being more of a run-based team, to being a dink-and-dunk team. You need to change constantly. And I don't know if a first-time play caller is just going to be able to do that as seamlessly as I think we hope it will be. And that's why I look at it, man, and I look at the fact that the Eagles were so reliant on the run game last year, and the run game was so dominant last year, I don't think they're going to be able to win that way again. They might in some weeks, but week to week, every single week, Saquon going for 150, 200 yards, I don't think it's going to happen. And it's going to be incumbent on Kevin Petullo, a first-time play caller, to change a lot of things with this offense. And I think you do need to change. I think you do need to change this offense, even though, you know, it had so much success last year. I don't think it's going to work as effectively if you don't have new things, if you don't have new wrinkles. And that's a lot for a first-time play caller. And that's why I'm more concerned about this offense. 215-592-9494, if you want to get in. More concerned about the Eagles' offense or the defense as we head into 2025, as we head into training camp, getting started next week.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.